The Randall's ticket window is now open. Text the keyword Texas to 512-451-5653 to enter to win a pair of tickets to this weekend's game. That's 512-451-5653 to receive the contest sign-up link right to your phone. You could win a pair of tickets to see UT take on Baylor from our partners at Randall's and the Horn.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. You can always hit us up via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers. My man BK is at Brad Keltner. And Kevin is at KevinDunn01 in the Twitterverse. It is a Motown-esque Thursday. I think I recognized almost every song, maybe except for this song. What is this?
This is the Marvelettes.
Marvelettes.
Beachwood 45789, the name of the song.
That's the name of the song?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I've heard this song before.
I don't think I've ever heard this song. No? No. What does it mean? Is that an address? Is that an address?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There you go. All right. Who knew? All right. I'd like to know what these songs are about from the old days. You know what I mean?
It's usually not about them. Much either. It's usually pretty simple.
Yeah, usually it's pretty simple. Sometimes you get some deep existential stuff going on. All right, let's talk about something that's not deep or existential, and that is Texas football. It's pretty shallow at this point. Yeah. And even some of the observations, honestly, they're pretty surface level. Right? An undisciplined team that has a lot of penalties, a lot of missed tackles, and they don't really play their best football until they absolutely have to. That's the football team that we know this year. They're trying to turn that around versus the Baylor Bears. We do have some audio from Mike Yurcich and Chris Ash.
Yeah, that's a perfect segue, Rod B. Almost an unintentional segue, but it worked out perfectly well, talking about how this team has really struggled to get things going until they absolutely have to, right? You go back to the Texas Tech game, down by 15 points with 3 minutes to go. Okay, let's figure out our offense. Let's kick this thing into gear. Trailing late against TCU, the long drive, obviously it ends with the Keontae Ingram fumble at the one-yard line, but the offense got some things going. The Oklahoma game, down by 14 in the final 4 minutes, Texas kicks things into gear. The offense is able to tie it up and force overtime. Joe Cook of Inside Texas, also the 1-0 podcast, he wrote an article that you alluded to yesterday, Rod B.
Great piece.
About Sam Ehlinger and how much he has saved the offense this year and kind of how his numbers have changed, right? For the first 55 minutes of regulation, he's been one player. But for the last 5 minutes of regulation and in overtimes, he's been a completely different player. Joe Cook actually asked Mike Yurcich about that. I left the question in there so y'all could get the full context. But here's a question from Joe Cook about the offensive changes from the first 55 minutes of games to the last five. And Mike Yurcich is a little bit stumped. Listen to this interaction.
Coach, in the last 5 minutes of regulation and in overtime of conference games, Sam's yards per attempt is over 8. Any other time in conference games, it's under 5.5. And I know situation obviously dictates that you'll have to try and score really quickly, but when you see that the offense in those situations works really well, how do you take those last 5 minutes in overtime and maybe take those principles throughout the rest of the game?
That's a very good question. I don't have a great answer for you on that particular question. I think a lot of times you're in a situation where you may be trying to jam the ball in and taking a risk where you would take a check down if it was normal situations. So, you know, a lot of times if you know you have to score and there's opportunities to go for it on third and long, you're going to try to rip in, a tight window, whereas maybe you check it down in the first or second quarter or third quarter, whatever it may be. So I think the impact of the game and what's at stake sometimes can dictate the aggressiveness of your mentality throwing the ball down the field.
Katie, I saw you shaking your head. I'll give you the floor first.
Well, because early on, that's what we kind of recognized this team was going to have to be. They were going to have to, what we thought was pass to set up a maybe more traditional run game, say traditional, in the style of offense that Yurcich wants. But I think they need to be aggressive more often. And I've brought up different examples throughout college football where people are forced to do something and they realize that this is actually better for us throughout all 60 minutes. And I wish this Texas coaching staff would jump on it. Terrific question by Joe Cook. And
it really was.
And, yeah, it really was. And I think Yurcich was being honest. He brings up a good point. Obviously, you're going to be a little bit more check down, Charlie, if you're in first and second down. But that's also kind of the point. They need to be less check down, Charlie, even though the game may dictate it in a normal football game. This is not a normal offense, a normal football team. They need to be aggressive and play that style that they're playing when they're down mm-hmm. more often throughout the game.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. And I think for Tom Herman and his staff, I think it's a bit of a hubris. It's pride. They don't want to give up on one of the key principles, key foundational philosophies of the pro spread, which is try to be balanced, right, to try to run the ball, control the line of scrimmage. Truth is, the identity, which is something they've been searching for, of this offense needs to be built around Sam Ehlinger. It's just that simple. And whether that ends up being a lopsided game plan where you have to throw the ball and throw to open up the run, as KD has stated, and you have to rely more on and build in fail safes. You know, Sam likes a scramble because your offensive line can't pass protect really well. So build in scramble. Scramble drill should be a big part of what you do well. You should be have the best scramble drill in the Big 12 because your quarterback scrambles more than any other quarterback in the Big 12. So build in fail safes, I think, in the offense. And yeah, 2-minute drill. Just start off with it. You got to try to replicate it. I know it's not the exact same, and I think they're worried it could put their defense in a compromising position yeah. and exhaust their defense, which has already looked exhausted on the field and missed a ton of tackles. I think you might have to take that chance to avoid the same scenario over and over again where the last 5 minutes or last 7 minutes of the game, you're down double digits, and that's when you decide, all right, F it. Let's go 2-minute. Let's just go, Sam, abandon the running game, and let's go with that. And then it works, and everybody goes, well, why didn't you do that
right.
earlier?
We've talked about that a yeah. lot, right? It's frustrating that we haven't seen more hurry-up, no-huddle, up-tempo offense from this team. Now, they go no-huddle on pretty much every possession, but in terms mm-hmm. of actually going super up-tempo, we're only seeing that late in fourth quarters when they absolutely have to. And this goes yeah. back to a comment Tom Herman made, I believe, after the Oklahoma game. You know, he was asked a question, I can't remember if it was Craig, if it was Roger, if it was Quan, but it was on the horn. He was asked about that in particular, and Tom Herman said, it's a shame that we have to go fast to score points.
I remember you said yeah.
And he also this. Elaborated on that. I think somebody asked a follow-up question at his press conference that following Monday, and he talked about not wanting to win games 65-55. Like, the first comment, it's a shame that we have to go fast to score. That is the most glass-half-empty comment I think I've ever heard. Like, Tom Herman is a guy who tries to be optimistic, and he talks about that all the time with the media, right? We're staying yeah. positive. We're staying confident in the locker room. We're going to figure some things out. But for him to say that, it's a shame. No, no, no. You have an advantage. You've got something that's working really, really well.
Really well.
A lot of teams across the country would kill for that,
yep.
to be able to be successful scoring when they go up-tempo, and you are choosing not to use it for the first 55 minutes of football games. I think you're dead on, Rodby. He's worried about the defense, right? He wants to play complimentary football, but look at Oklahoma, man. I mean, they've won this league 5 years in a row by scoring fast and going mm-hmm. up-tempo and winning games 65-55.
And having bad defenses.
And having bad defenses. I know that's not ideal, but that's how you win this league. And Tom Herman has seen it 3 weeks in a row now yep. that, hey, hurry up, no huddle. This up-tempo offense can work for us, for mm-hmm. the personnel that we have. Yet for some reason, we're not seeing it until they absolutely have to. It's incredibly frustrating.
It is. And getting back to that comment where he said it's a shame we have to, that's what Rod's talking that's about. Amazing. That's where you're so connected and married to a principle and an idea that it clouds everything, the conclusion that you're trying to get.
Mm-hmm.
And for any coach that is 2-2 or just looks like this team has in the three real games where they're 1-2, anytime you say it's a shame we have to or I don't want to, and win is followed by that, I don't care what it is. You're just trying to win football games.
Right.
Whether you do that 80-70 or 3-2.
No, it feels like he cares more about winning his way than just winning.
Yes, that's getting back to that
great
principle.
And you can't have that happen, especially when you're trying to save your job, right? Just find ways to win. Feels like this is the time where you should maybe change your ways a little bit so you can stick around. But a lot of coaches want to stick to their guns, right? Oh, if I'm going out, I'm going out swinging. I'm going out my way.
Yeah, I just I don't know how you can look at the sample size so far and justify trying to do it, you know, the way that he has with his pro spread offense, trying to run the ball in that manner. And as I've pointed out, guys, to go back to 2017, 2018, 2019, there is no running game in his pro spread offense without Sam Ehlinger's unique ability as a scrambler or unique ability to be a short yardage weapon. So in that vein, I don't know where he's manufactured this idea that the pro spread offense is some really effective running offense. Like, I don't know where he gets it from, because it's not.
2014, maybe, although their spread was a little different at Ohio State.
It's Ohio State. That's Urban Meyer. That was Urban Meyer's pro spread. Now, I'm talking about Tom Herman's
pro spread. You asked the question. I think he's still stuck there.
I'm with you. I think
six
you're right.
6 years ago.
But I'm like, no, what Tom Herman, your
team,
pro spread. Yeah, it's amazing. So I think that I hope that you'll get some up-tempo early on in the game. If you don't, guys, he may be that stubborn. He may just be that stubborn, banging his head against that brick wall.
I think he kind of is right now. That would be insane. That's a conclusion we have to have.
That would be insanity if he does that.
Until he makes the change. Hey, if you want to go up-tempo, you want to get that thing going fast, how about you get to appleleasing.com? Maybe you're looking for a sports car. You're looking for something for a nice country drive where you can really stretch out those legs. Start at appleleasing.com. Take the free quote. See where you stand. Either give them a price or give them a make and a model. They have rates as low as 2.9%. They've got multiple financing sources to get you all set up, and they've got reps that are online right now. So if you get to that lower right-hand side, if you have a more specific, detailed question, fire away. They've been doing this for 30-plus years, incredibly friendly, and they will also help you customize your lease. It will not just be the cookie cutters that you see everywhere. 512-346-9977, 512-346-9977, or appleleasing.com.
All right, guys, I want to play one more cut here from offensive coordinator Mike Yurcich. Texas needs to improve its vertical passing game. I think that's safe to say. They need a lot more production from all the wide receivers, but especially the outside wide receivers. And they've taken a lot of shots down the field over the past couple of weeks, but have come up empty on just about all of them. So Mike Yurcich was asked, you know, how do you improve your vertical passing game? Here's what he had to say.
Deep balls are a product of a lot of different things. On the first particular deep ball, there was pocket pressure. There was not a lot of room for him to step up. However, at the same time, you've got to make short stride throws. So the timing of the receivers and separation factors into it as well. But we're continually working on a deep ball, his fundamentals, the trajectory of the ball, and the timing. The footwork is something that's a work in progress, and we're going to continue to work on those things. So everybody, you know, that's all shared there as far as being effective, throwing the ball vertically down the field. And it falls on my shoulders, too, to be in the right play at the right time. You don't want to be throwing deep balls against cover two. But, you know, we felt that there's a room to grow there, and that has been a stress point for us, and we'll continue to stress it because you've got to be able to attack vertically.
So, Rod B., where are you at with that, right, the improvements that you would like to see Texas make in terms of the downfield passing game? Because it's obvious that those are necessary.
Yeah, I think their biggest issue, I mean, he can start talking macro if he wants to, but you got to start at the beginning of that play, and that's the guys getting off of the jam. And I don't know how often they're going to see it versus Baylor. I'd assume, like I said, they saw bump and run coverage versus TCU on the outside around 41% of the time. That number jumped to around 46% of the time versus Oklahoma. I'm assuming you'll get above 50% versus Baylor. I would anyway.
Yeah.
So they got to learn to get off the jam. You can't, because the vertical passing game, a lot of it's going to be built on the outside receivers being able to stretch the field. And I'll give you the numbers for those who don't know. It's really bad right now. They're only the last 2 weeks. Texas wide receivers on the outside, when they are being targeted against a defender who is playing press man, they have 2 receptions for 15 yards. That's it. Last 2 games, 2 receptions for 15 yards, but somebody's playing press man against, or press coverage, I should say, against them, bumping around. Sometimes they play press, and then they'll end up kind of backing off into a zone. But if you reroute those wide receivers, it completely kills the route integrity, and Sam Ehlinger abandons his progressions quicker. And that's all you really want. You ain't got to cover them. I gotta bump and run you quick long enough for Sam to give up on you, which he'll do pretty quickly, and for the offensive line to implode, which they do pretty quickly. And so you don't have to play bump and run for 3-4 seconds.
No, you're not
covered. I'm playing bump and run for about a second and a half till Sam Ellinger decides, oh, on to the next one. Oh, on to the next one. Oh, I'm scrambling. That's it. That's all you're trying. You're trying to disrupt the timing and the continuity of the play, and teams are doing a really good job at it right now.
So let me ask you this. During the off week, which they got
I was saying this. Sorry, one thing. When they do play bump and run, that's why Sam, the scrambling man, is so pivotal. When you play bump and run, man, you're going to turn your back a lot of the time. You turn your back, and that's when – and you got no spy, that's when Sam Ellinger can take off and then, hell, 10 yards. He's averaging 10 yards per scramble.
And that's why, because backs are turned to him.
Scramble.
And so teams like Oklahoma aren't spying until too late.
Yeah, that was just idiotic. I don't know, Alex Grinch, somebody needs to cuss him out for that. That was just stupid. Considering that's the only thing Texas could do, he didn't put a spy on Sam until late in the game. That was grossly imbecilic.
So you have an off week, and I expect Dave Aranda to do that. I expect him to play press and also have a spy waiting for Sam.
Oh, yes.
It'd be idiotic if they don't.
I agree.
Okay, you got the week off. We know they got a lot of good work done. At least we're hearing that. Rod, how much can you get done in that 1 week? I guess my question is, how much of this is just the personnel they have and they don't have strong enough guys or quick enough guys to use their quickness to create that separation early on and to get off of press coverage?
You just mean a dog out there, a Troy O'Meary.
A Troy O'Meary.
It was like getting up.
Or some of these slot guys that are so quick.
Yeah.
We've talked about it. Amendola will run some of these on 1 foot. He's almost like he's playing around right now.
Agreed.
So how much of it is just the personnel and not having the quickness or the strength or the dogs, as you say, and how much of this is can they actually maybe improve this and teach ways to get that release?
Yeah, it's both because you have the injury of Troy O'Meary. Your quickest receiver in terms of getting off a press would probably be Jordan Whittington and Jake Smith, and those guys have been hurt off and on, and Brendan Eagles should be able to do it. He's a veteran receiver at this point.
230.
And as BK mentioned, he can't get off a jam either. So I think schematically you're going to have to work on bunch routes, starburst releases. That means guys releasing in lots of different directions so the defense can't keep up with it. Put your guys in motion a lot. Put the tight ends like Jared Wiley, big body guys, who are going to run slow anyway. Listen, Cade Brewer and Jared Wiley like when DBs want to bump them. They're like, who? Makes my route a whole lot easier. I just got to create a little separation. Those guys want a big body anyway. Put them on the outside. Put your little receivers on the inside because you don't want to bump and run on the inside. Guys got a two-way go. Makes it a lot easier than on the outside when you have the sideline as another defender.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work out for Tom Herman here, do we consider bringing in this guy?
You need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here.
Is that the guy we need to look at?
Was he Coastal Carolina?
He was Coastal Carolina.
Love that.
That guy was hilarious.
He
looked the part, too.
Yeah. No, he did.
He looked like, and he shouldn't go up to any other level. He looks like Coastal Carolina's football coach.
Ironically, guys, he was kind of talking about what's happening at Texas. He was talking about style. It was a whole rant was about style over substance and football players who worry about how they look and their
wristbands.
And he's like, that's kind of a cat mentality. Be a dog. Dog don't even damn about that. Dogs want to play. Dogs want to ball.
Play in the mud.
Play in the mud, whatever. And he's right. Texas, what? We got our icy white uniforms. Oh, the eyes of Texas. We worry about a lot of other stuff other than playing football right now. We're a bunch of cat. Yeah. We ain't got no dog.
You need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here.
Nothing against cats, by the way.
I like cats.
My dogs are scared of cats.
But he's
cats,
right of that. He's right on that.
Cats will whip most of my chocolate labs are too nice for cats. A cat will whip a dog.
Yeah.
A lot of dogs. They do.
Labs are sweet.
They're too sweet. Cats are not sweet.
No. Well, so they can be, but they also can be jerks.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt about that.
Well, maybe we need those kind of cats. Maybe we need the
we
kind
do.
Of, we got our cats are too nice.
I had a split, man. I had two. One was a sweetheart and one was
an a-hole.
An a-hole.
We need a-hole cats around here.
He's an a-hole. That hadn't changed.
All right, Texas Baylor coming up Saturday at 2:30. We'll have that game for you here on the Horn. Of course, our pregame coverage will begin Saturday morning at 10:30. It's the Triple Option with RBKD. We've got Rod Babers, we've got Kevin Dunn, we've got BK, and we've got the BK Lounge coming up. It is a Survey Thursday edition of the BK Lounge. We'll actually talk some pets here as part of this subject, but we're also talking cleanliness. How clean have Americans been during the pandemic? We'll dive into the numbers next.
4th and 5, the national championship on the line right here.
All the bandits!
There's the pass to Leitner. Puts it up. Yes!
I don't believe what I just saw.
Auburn's going to win the football game.
Auburn's going to win the football game.
Chalmers for the tie. Got it. In 2 seconds.
Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal.
Oh, wow. In your life, have you seen anything like that?
You believe it not, folks? Yes.
Now, it's time to step inside the BK Lounge. Here's your host.
Who the hell is
Brad Kellner?
Baby, if you give it to me, I'll give it to you. I know what you want. You know I got it, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the BK Lounge. October 22nd, 2020 edition of the Lounge. Alongside Kevin Dunn and Rod Babers, I am BK Brad Kellner, and this edition of the BK Lounge is brought to you by Audio Visual Consultations. Give them a call, 255-8678, to get the home TV setup of your dreams. Gentlemen, it's another edition of Survey Thursday as part of the BK Lounge.
Nice.
This is a survey conducted by Bissell, Inc. You guys ever heard of them?
No. I have not heard of them.
It's a privately owned vacuum cleaner and floor care product manufacturer in Walker, Michigan, close to Grand Rapids.
I used to live in there. I used to be a Michigander.
Is that what they call themselves?
I think they're Michiganders.
Michiganders. That's right.
I know. It sounds
Grand Rapids, exactly. Northwest part of the state?
I'm not sure. I lived in Dearborn, and I spent a lot of time in Dearborn, which is, Detroit, close to Detroit, close to Canada, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's in the western corner, I believe.
There you go.
Yeah. So this poll is related to how clean Americans have been during the pandemic, guys. Bissell polled 2,000 Americans for this. Now, there were a couple of qualifications that had to be met by the respondents. Number one, they had to be homeowners.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
You okay?
Homeowners.
Homeowners.
Right.
Oh, God. Yeah. I didn't even get it. Not insinuating anything.
And they also needed to be parents of school-aged children. So none of us would apply for this guy.
Children does make sense because we say child. Why would you turn it around to children?
Don't encourage him.
Well, no. When he's got a couple that are actually right, I'm gonna point it out.
I know, but still.
I know.
So that's right. Not us. We're not parents of school-aged
children. We're not children.
No.
Well, sometimes
you guys
we are.
I'm not. I have no idea what you're talking about. But I am curious if y'all have ever experienced these things in your residences. And by ever, I mean during COVID-19. So the lead statistic here, the biggest eye grab for me, was that 74% of folks who responded to this agreed that their house has never been dirtier than it is right now during COVID-19. Where are y'all at? Are y'all feel the same way?
What? Hold up. Say that again.
Dirtier?
74% of respondents agreed that their house has never been dirtier.
Dude, mine is as clean as it's ever been.
It is immaculate right now. Because my girl, she's been, she's not going to work physically. She's working from home. I'm at home. So there are chores being done constantly. And I'm just wiping stuff down all the damn time. This studio has never been cleaner.
Yeah.
We wipe the studio. Every show that comes in wipes the studio down and wipes everything down. These people are insane. They just sit at home in filth. Disgusting.
They've got kids, man.
I don't have kids. That's true. I don't have kids. Mm-hmm. I got dogs.
Mine is clean as clean as it's ever been. Yeah.
So there's hair, but you clean.
I'm clean.
You're cleaning it.
Right.
I don't know. But I don't have kids. Kids is a different discussion.
R.I.P. Stewie, but I will say, down to one the last 2 weeks, I've noticed everything. Like, just litter, but also hair. It's not as much. I would obviously take the other way around.
Good
but,
point.
Mine is clean as hell right now.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah, that number kind of made sense to me just because families are home, right? Kids are home. Everyone's there all the time, which means there's more chance of a mess, right? Usually kids are gone for 8 hours a day at school.
So people don't make their kids clean? Man,
that's
my mama used to threaten my life, basically, if I didn't clean things and have them clean. How do you think I learned how to mop and vacuum and all these damn chores I do? Clean bathroom. Because my mom would like, oh, you done with that? All right, another task for you.
Right.
What the hell's going on?
Called chores, man.
Continue.
And we all had them.
So we'll get to
I'm a good sweeper. Really am. I like my technique.
Do you go under the rug or do you go into the dustpan?
I go dustpan.
Okay. Please.
Yeah.
So I sweep it under the couch, sweep it under the rug. I don't have to worry about that. No one's going to see
it. That's something you do as a kid. When it's all your stuff in your place, you don't do that.
Yeah, that's true.
Unless it's emergency mode and some chick's coming over and you're just trying to throw stuff. Right.
Everybody's
trying to make
there.
It. Yeah, we've all been there.
Yeah. So part of the reason why houses are getting dirtier, 75% of respondents said that having everyone home more often has caused them to relax some of the existing house rules. Here's a top five list of house rules that have been relaxed during the pandemic. Number five, putting the toilet seat down when you're finished.
Okay.
23% of respondents said that.
Because you're peeing there more often, so the guys are like, do I really got to do this?
Every
Hey, women, understand, that is a big chore for us to have to drop that down.
I
do it every time.
Yeah, I mean, I have four women in the house, so it was, that's like terms for grounding. That's grounds for grounding if I didn't do that.
And I live with a woman. If you live with a woman long enough, you get the habit. You got to get it.
I don't, and it's been a couple years since I've lived with a woman, so I'm out of that habit. But you know what? She had gotten me into that habit.
Because you were doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number four.
She snuck in there and was living with me before I even knew it. They're so good at that.
Put her toothbrush in there.
Oh, the toothbrush, and the next time I'm finding tampons, and then a drawer.
That's when you got to pull out.
A drawer was taken. Oh, I did pull out.
Okay.
Oh.
Of the relationship.
Okay. Just making sure.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. Number four. Top five house rules that have been relaxed during the pandemic. No using your phone at the dinner table.
Oh,
so that's been relaxed a little
bit. Yeah, because the whole point of that was we haven't been together all day.
Exactly.
We've been apart. Now that we've been together the whole damn
day,
I'm sick of you.
Right.
Matter of fact, we don't even need to eat at the table. Go eat somewhere else. Go in front of the TV. Get out of my face.
How do I know where I'm sitting? I put your phone in front of the
point.
Of the chair.
I can see that.
I don't want to talk to you during this dinner.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Number three, don't leave wet towels or dirty clothes on the floor. It's been eased up a little bit during the pandemic.
I'm not a fan of dirty clothes and towels on the floor.
Dirty clothes, I do. Wet towels, though,
that's
I don't.
That's gross, yeah. Hang up your towel
Hang
when you're done
towels.
With it.
Number
two. Well, disgusting. Are you washing your towel after every use?
No. Oh, well, maybe you are.
But there's no way you're being that dirty and then also that clean.
Oh, great.
That ain't happening.
That ain't happening.
That
no,
person
no,
doesn't
no.
pull
you're
that
right.
off.
Number two, no staying up past your bedtime. That rule's been relaxed.
Okay.
Understandably
yeah. That makes sense.
And number one, you kind of alluded to it earlier, Rod B., the number one house rule that has been relaxed during the pandemic, according to this survey, no eating in front of the TV.
Yeah.
37% of respondents say they have eased up on that rule due to the pandemic.
That was the best thing about my parents' divorce. And there were some good things.
Eating in front of the TV?
Yeah, I mean, to where they a lot of those rules, I was 12, and my sister was already out of the house, and so it was just, I was either with my mom one week or my dad the other, and it was, look, we love each other, but we're not trying to pull this family thing off anymore. Just go watch your sports, and here's food.
Exactly.
And I
totally
loved
agree.
It. I loved it.
Yeah.
How about this, guys? The timing of this one isn't great, KD. I'm sorry to bring this up, but I know both of y'all can relate to this one. 81% of respondents who are pet parents said that their cat or dog has been treated more like an actual child during the pandemic.
Oh, that's not a pandemic thing.
Yeah,
that's every day in our household. So.
I did that before. You guys saw the state I was in when Stewie died after 16 years. He had a great life. I was never – I was planning on never really having children, and I've always been an animal person, so I treat my animals like kids.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're the same for all you parents out there. I'm not that idiot or that nut. But for me personally, nothing really changed.
I agree. I treat my
They liked it because I was home more.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they did.
They loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No doubt. More from this survey. 78% of respondents said they have the urge to deep clean their homes. And the average respondent has the urge to deep clean their home 4 times per week.
Yeah. I can see that because you see more dirt.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the damn house so much, you see more stuff like, oh, look at the baseboards. Look how gross they are. Look behind the fridge. That's really gross.
Great
point,
Rod.
You know what I mean? Look at the ceiling
exactly
fan is so
is.
Gross. And you start, you're there so much. I trust me, I've dealt with it. Like, I didn't realize it's been that long since when's the last time I did clean that window or whatever it was? So that's what it is.
Yeah, because all of a sudden you start seeing different angles.
You do.
Because the other
lights,
thing, too, if you're in your place, you're like, you know what? I never sit in this chair.
Yep.
Let me sit in this chair. This is how I talk when I'm debating inside my own head on what to do in my place.
Let
me go in the other room.
Let
me see what's going on there. But I've noticed that where I've sat in a chair or I went in my office room and was like looking at stuff and I thought, well, I never really do this a lot, but that's got to be clean.
Yep, no doubt.
And I can't believe I haven't seen it before.
No, I'm with you.
Good call.
So I gave a list of old house rules that have been relaxed during the pandemic. How about new house rules that have been adopted because of the pandemic?
I like this.
We've got four answers on the board, gentlemen.
Jeffrey Toobin.
Oh, new rules to die. Okay, do come with COVID stuff, right? So is this in the house, though, right? Is it strictly in the house?
House rules.
Man, it's got to be something COVID-related about wiping stuff down and cleaning stuff. After
Number four on this list, wiping packages down before opening.
Boom. Okay.
Ding, ding, ding. You guys doing that? Wiping packages,
I'm doing it.
Wiping mail?
No, I lick them.
We leave it in the garage for a week, usually.
Yeah, no, I usually like rip open the letters and then I lick where it was sealed. I count that as a makeout too, so that helps out the numbers. I always hope it was a woman on the other side, but you know, you never know.
I haven't done it with the mail. I have been debating because I've got a bunch of sanitizer, so I wash my hands or clean my hands after we leave here. But as I get into the place, usually would go straight, wash my hands, but a couple of times I've turned the TV on before, and I'm like, ugh.
That's why I wipe.
Am I just spreading this stuff?
That's why
everywhere?
I occasionally wipe down almost everything in the house that I've done. Like, maybe like once or twice, you know, a day, I'll just go start wiping stuff down.
Yeah. That's number two on this list. Hold cleaning on. Doorknobs and other high contact surfaces regularly.
Because you know you're going to forget.
I'm doing that.
You're human, so you're going to forget. Yeah.
Are you still getting naked in the garage?
I do. I strip in the garage and basically decontaminate. Going to the house
every time
in my drawers.
You're still doing that.
Yeah, I get dressed in the garage and I pretty much take off all my clothes before I go back into the house.
Man,
wow!
No wonder she's marrying you. No, that's impressive.
I'm just saying. I mean, I go into the world.
My dad used to do that pre-pandemic.
Yeah,
but that's because he was killing bed bugs for a living. So my mom was like, "You're not coming in with those
chemicals
clothes. Leave them
stuff.
In the garage."
Oh, wait a minute, you're not kidding?
No, no, not kidding at all.
The chemicals.
I thought that was a bed.
Running through the house completely nude, dude.
That's why your parents will still hook it up later
I
on.
I guess so.
Yeah. You got a young child.
No,
now.
They only hooked up four times total.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah, there's four kids and their
that's
family.
That's got to be weird too. BK's leaving. Is like, should I bring a jacket, Dad? Because it must be cold outside.
That's great.
What's going on here?
We have to go through
not
the house almost
on my
butt
dad
naked.
For that,
that is pretty cool.
Number
I like
three
that.
Is actually what Rod B does. 48% of people said that because of the pandemic, they are now showering when returning home from a highly populated area. So it's not it's not everywhere.
Not everywhere.
But like if you go
grocery
out here
store.
With the crowd of people, restaurant, grocery store, they're showering right when they get home.
I'm probably showering more than I usually do.
I throw the clothes in the washer.
Yeah. And number one, this is something I always do, and I think you guys probably all do this too, washing your hands as soon as you walk in the door.
Yep.
59% of respondents say that they have adopted that as new rules during the pandemic.
It is true. I wash it every day when I go right through the door. It's amazing.
Well, like I said, I'm even thinking about it now. Now, before pandemic, if I would have gotten in my place and turned the AC down and then turned the TV on, and then gone to wash. Even I usually would wash my hands, but I would do other stuff.
Yep.
Now,
first,
I've touched the AC a couple times, and I'm like, "Oh my god!"
No.
And I've washed my hands, and gone back to the AC,
and wiped it down,
and wiped it down.
There you go.
Yeah.
Last little nugget
for
here.
Rubbing off of me, Rod.
Last little nugget here. 63% of respondents. Once again, these are parents of school-aged children. They said it has been helpful to have their family at home to clean the house.
Yeah,
actually,
I bet.
I disagree with that. I feel like it's easier. Everyone's gone. Like, I'm going to take care of cleaning the house. I feel like little kids are just going to screw stuff up, you know?
That's true.
Yeah.
But at a certain age, you can give them tasks. Like I said, my mom would, like, mop the kitchen and then go clean, you know, the balcony and do whatever you got
to
do.
I just feel like everything they did, I would have to redo because it wasn't good enough.
Probably.
So it would just tick me off.
But it's teaching them work ethic.
Yeah. Oh,
it
is.
Is what you want to do with kids.
And it's teaching them the, how do you pronounce it, anality? Or, no, that's analyst. That's right. I'm getting that confused there.
We're talking about children here. Be careful.
Well,
exactly.
Easy.
You brought it up. I didn't.
No. I'm getting into something else there.
But you
learn.
Trying to teach them that.
You learn all your anal tendencies with cleaning the house from your parents, and they stick
with
you.
That is true. Good point.
So, like, my dishwashing stuff, which has been an issue in relationships before, like, I'm not one of those people that puts anything in the dishwasher. I essentially clean the whole thing and wash it before. But there's not going to be little bits of spaghetti in there. I don't think that's Superman.
That's a good point.
I think that's kind of part of it. Right
there you go. So their survey Thursday, once again, the big stat, 74% of Americans who responded to this survey say their house has never been dirtier than it is right now during the pandemic.
How much of that is a lot of times if you know you have someone coming over and you know you have company, you will really work on your place a little bit more.
And now you never have company.
And now you don't have that, so you don't have that kind of peer pressure or that pressure of being embarrassed.
Yep.
Pandemic or the panty.
Yeah. Oh, panty.
Let's not go panty.
Why not?
Because it
seems like a good abbreviation. It's fewer letters than pandemic.
You got to go pandy. Pandy, not pandy. You can't say it fast. Pandy.
Handy.
Yeah,
the pandemic, the pandy, the panty. Okay.
Yeah, see? Exactly.
We're going to break. Go to break. I don't know what you guys are talking about. What's on tap? Coming up next.
Pop a top again.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash your
mouth? Oh, yeah. I've been known to drink a beer or two.
I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds. It's only my opinion. Sir,
I got beer.
I got bottled breast milk.
Why don't we start with the beer?
Okay.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Wait, it's already 5 o'clock here. It's time for What's on Tap.
How about a nice cool drink?
That is really good.
That is good. That is.
Pop a top again.
The Randall's ticket window is now open. Text the keyword Texas to 512-451-5653 to enter to win a pair of tickets to this weekend's game. That's 512-451-5653 to receive the contest sign-up link right to your phone. You could win a pair of tickets to see UT take on Baylor from our partners at Randall's and the Horn.
I'm sorry, I thought this was America.
All right, time to wrap this thing up and put it in the oven, gentlemen, before we do. Time to let you know what's on tap. What's on tap tonight, fellas? No World Series. Got a break going. Used to be a travel day, but ain't nobody traveling. So it's just a day off.
Hanging out in Arlington.
Hanging out in Arlington, kicking it. I think Craig said it after Four Seasons or something like that. Somewhere real nice.
Ooh.
I don't know. Craig would know better than me.
Yeah.
We never talked about Craig being on TV.
Yeah, man.
World Series game one. We never talked about that. That was a big deal.
Was he blowing his nose or kind of picking?
I think he was eating. Was he eating, right?
I don't know. He could have been eating, too. Could have been doing all of it. He could have been eating and picking his nose.
No, he said he was scratching his nose.
Okay.
I think he went full Jerry Seinfeld.
No.
A super hot chick where it looks like
it was a pick or an itch.
Was it a pick or an itch? I think it was a pick there from Craig Way on national television.
Oh no.
He's claiming an itch, but I don't know, man.
Was he rocking a Dodgers jersey too?
Dodgers jersey and Dodgers face mask. He was decked out in Dodger blue.
That's great.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. How long was he on? Was it
extended?
It was split quick.
Because
a lot of people said they saw it. Because Zay said
I would have never noticed
Zay.
It. Yeah, Zay tweeted it out. I was watching the game. I didn't see it.
Okay, so it must be real quick. All right.
Zay was all over, man.
TM Zay is what they call him.
Not messing around. Hey,
they call him that.
We're going to have Craig coming up next, are we not? We got a little Tom Herman.
I want to hear it. Damn it, I hope I DVR it. I'm going to tell my woman to DVR this on LHN. I think they replay it, though.
I think they do.
Later on tonight. All right.
Or you could just listen to it here.
Yeah, but on my way home, I like to dissect Tom Herman and what he has to say. I know it's a lot of coach speak, but I want to hear if he's actually have anything substantive to say.
Are you guys insinuating they like to replay things on the Longhorn Network?
No. Wall to wall.
I don't know what y'all are talking 24/7.
How dare you? That's not easy coming up with stuff there, okay? I'm getting all defensive. Hey, how dare
it's
you?
It's like, you don't work there anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I did.
We got friends.
Did have to create a lot of stuff.
Having the time of his life.
They need you back because they need more stuff created around there.
It's not their fault.
Original content.
They don't have many people there.
The people they have there are good people.
They're doing really good work. So also the Coach's Corner coming up at 8 o'clock tonight. Rob, what are you doing now that you have a fiance? Has the sex stopped yet?
No. It's actually picking up, which is a good thing. I think at the wedding is when it stops officially.
Right.
She still ain't got me officially.
Well, tweet about that tonight. give me some
live tweeting.
That would be
great.
He's going live on Periscope.
Make sure you copy Jeffrey Toobin. Make sure you copy Jeffrey Toobin on that. He would think your fiance is super hot.
My fiance.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Obviously, stick around here. And don't forget, Bucky and Aaron will get you started tomorrow at 6 o'clock. All the shows will be here. We're going to be back at 3 previewing the weekend in the NFL and also college football. More Texas Baylor talk. That'll do it for us. For Brad, for Rod, I'm Kevin. Peace, y'all.